It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Visual artist Nigel Poor has spent years offering us a glimpse of life behind bars. Poor is not herself incarcerated, but she has worked with people inside California's San Quentin prison to tell the stories of everyday life. Among the ways she's done that is through curating a remarkable group of large format photographs taken over the years by prison staff. Some of those photographs are on exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and we'll hear about them in a few minutes.
But Poor has also produced and hosted a podcast called Ear Hustle, along with Erlon Woods, who was sentenced to 31 years to life for second-degree attempted armed robbery. Woods' sentence was commuted last fall, and he's now a free man and a full-time producer for Ear Hustle, though his stories have obviously changed since leaving prison. Woods and Nigel Poor spoke recently with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about their work together, and Woods spoke about what it was like to finally leave prison after two decades behind bars.
It was almost like the 21 years never happened. I would say it wasn't like a major shock. It was just like being back to something that was familiar. It was only a couple of things that surprised me, like not seeing currency, like real live tender green backs for like 2 days. Everybody was using cards and phones to pay for everything, so that was kind of different. And I always say that the other difference was, in prison, you don't see homelessness. In Oakland, you see it everywhere. So that was a shock. But I went from suspended animation to back on the ground, so it was cool.
You spent so much of your time the last 3 years really analyzing what life is like inside of prison. How much did you prepare for and talk about what life would be like outside of prison? And this is really a question for both of you. How much did that topic come up for you?
Well, I mean, most people in prison fantasize about being outside of the prison. So, my mind was already out there in the streets. But we used to talk about when we get out, we're going to cover reentry or something. We're going to just add a different component to Ear Hustle. And I think that's what we used to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't talk so much about what his life was going to be like. What we talked about what could happen with Ear Hustle was the big conversation, and how it would be great when we were both outside to be able to do things together and start going to other prisons, traveling together, do things like this together. Obviously, when Erlon was inside, I was the one that had to represent everything on the outside. That came with a lot of stress. And so it's just great that now we can do it together as regular professional colleagues would. So that's what we talked. I mean, that is really where our conversation was, and what it would be like to have, Erlon come on as a full-time outside producer as opposed to a full-time inside producer.
And that's a question I had as, a listener. Mm-hmm. What's going to change?
Well, we're still figuring that out, but we did a job search inside the prison. I'm laughing because Erlon likes to call it a talent contest. We had a job search inside the prison where we actually put an ad out, and we had about 30 guys apply for the position. We did two rounds of interviews, and we got it down to 3 people, and then we had them come and do narration with me, do a story pitch. So we ended up hiring, in quotes hire, because we can't pay guys. We hired a guy named, I'm not sure if we're revealing who it is yet. So we hired a new guy who is going to do co-hosting with me on the inside, and will continue to do stories on the outside. And then the big change is Erlon will be doing stories about reentry on the outside, and we'll still be co-hosting that, and we're just figuring out how that's going to flow. And then eventually, I don't know if it will be season 4 or season 5, Erlon and I hopefully will start traveling to other prisons to do stories about what it's like at a level 3, level 4, the different things, because San Quentin is a very specific prison, and not all prisons are like that.
I was about to say, there's so many different kinds of prisons in this country, which, outside of something like your podcast, we don't really make that distinction between each kind of prison, cop shows, or the kinds of cultural ways that we talk about prison in the maybe oblique sense. We often don't make a distinction, but there is a big distinction.
Huge distinction. I think Erlon should probably talk to this. He lived it. I observed it, but mind, it's a huge difference.
I mean, in the structure of prison, it's done by different levels. Like level 1 means you're like the person that can leave the institution and go work out in society, or you're in a real, that's the lowest custody you would be in. Level two is like a little bit higher than that. You probably can't go outside the prison, but it's a lower custody. Most of the times you've been incarcerated for a long time and your points didn't drop. Level three is more of a higher custody, and level four is like maximum custody. So they look at level four as like for people that has a lot of points, whether it's for write-up behavior, write-ups, or just they have a certain amount of time where they can't drop their points. San Quentin is like one part of it is a level five, which is death row. And then the rest of it is level two. And there's technically no level five, but if there was, death row would be level five.
And I think what you were saying is, and I think when the general public thinks about prison, what they're thinking about is a level four maximum security prison, because that's what, you know, most TV, that's what most movies, that's what most bad journalism hypes on, is what a level four prison is like. And Ear Hustle is doing stories about life at a level two prison. And so there's a lot more freedom there. There's a lot more programming there. So you asked about change. One of the things is to tell stories about life at a level four. So we don't want Ear Hustle to give people the impression that all prisons are like San Quentin, because they're not. We also don't want everyone to think every prison's like a level four.
Right.
So we
right.
just I think we have a responsibility now that you're out right. to tell those different kinds of stories.
Indeed, and that's what we look to do, is because, again, level fours are different. You know, I think they're changing a little bit as far as, you know, the programs and the groups, but sometimes it's a violent place. You know, sometimes people want a program, but they can't based on the politics or their surrounding. You know, so we would love to go tell stories on level four, because they're going to be a lot different.
Very different. You know what else I was thinking? We have to get outside of California, because let's say if we came to prisons in Wisconsin,
right.
they're probably pretty different.
Probably
so
very different.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I was about to say, you know, Milwaukee has, I believe, the highest rate of black incarceration in the nation, and the highest black-white disparity in terms of incarceration rates. Is that something that you would want to dig into with prisons in the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin?
Well, you answered
first. No, I would just say that if I walked into prison and I seen 200 black dudes to two white dudes, I'd be like, hey, this looks a little different here. Like, let me go ask the white dudes how they coping in this type of environment.
But you bring up a good question. We don't do stories about policy. We do narratives about everyday life. So yes, that is a story we'd want to do, but we'd want to think about how can we do that story through, you know, a first-person narrative that isn't talking about numbers and facts. Because I found personally when I listen to something, what I'm moved by is a story. I'm not moved by facts. Scratch that. I'm not moved by policy talk and numbers. I find that really boring. Yes, I want facts. But I want to hear someone's personal account of what's that experience like. So I think that's what we would do. And in a roundabout way, get to that disparity.
What policy looks like in people.
Yes. I guess you could say it that way. Yeah, yeah. But if we just get on, you know, if we just tell a story that a legislature, someone who's working in the legislature could tell, that's going to put me to sleep. And I imagine if it puts me to sleep, it's going to put a lot of listeners to sleep. So we have to walk the line of being entertaining and having a call to action. I think that's the line we're always walking, because we want people to, like, they can't wait to hear that. How is this story going to end? So we have a responsibility to think like artists and creative people. And then we also have the dual responsibility of wanting people to think in a different way about incarceration and get things to change in a sort
what
of...
What was that? What do we call it? Edutainment?
Edutainment.
Something like that. Educate the public and yeah. at the same time entertain them in a way
yeah.
where, you know, the stories they hear are some stories that they're like, damn, that's just like me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I'm in that same circumstance, but I just took a different choice or a different route in my life.
Showing the commonalities.
Yeah.
That's what we're always trying to do.
So you were just talking about the audience kind of on the outside looking in, but what I found so fascinating about your podcast is it's not just the outside looking in, it's also the inside looking around, I guess.
Well, inside, it's interesting too. Tell her what our original idea was for the podcast.
So our original idea was to just air Ear Hustle inside of San Quentin. It wasn't to be for the larger consumption. We would have probably hope for that, but we never even thought of that. Like, we was, and I think Nigel's dream was just to air it in all the prisons in California. So at the time we were putting our first episode together, Nigel just walked in with a brochure that had Radiotopia's PodQuest and was like, what do y'all think about this? He was like, all right, that's cool. So that is why we are sitting here right now having this interview.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, on a lark, we got permission from the prison to apply for this contest that Radiotopia, which is part of PRX, was
which
putting
I didn't
on.
Think we were going to win because we'd never done a podcast before.
No. And we got permission from Lieutenant Robinson, who's a voice that you hear in every podcast. People have grown to love him. He gets recognized in public, too.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Or his voice. People recognize his voice. So he gave us permission to submit. And then
we submitted a 1 minute and 56 second pitch.
Yeah, a pitch, yeah.
Of what our show would be like. And out of 1,536 other entries
from how many countries?
53 different countries, we won. Well, it was a top 10, then a top 4, then we won a top 4, which gave us the platform of Radiotopia and PRX.
Yes.
And which put us around the world immediately.
The funny thing was, well, there are many odd things, but then when we won, Lieutenant Robinson said that he had said yes because he never thought we would win. And so when we won, all of a sudden, Erlon and I were like, we got to learn how to make a podcast.
Yeah.
And Lieutenant Robinson was like, ooh, now I got to figure out, you know, how is this actually going to work?
Right.
How are we going to do this and okay it? Because at that point, we were then obligated that stories had to go out. You know, we weren't picked up by Radiotopia to do stories that would just air inside the prison. It was to air outside.
We didn't know nothing about I didn't know nothing about the podcast world. Did you know, since Nigel listened to radio.
You didn't know what a podcast was.
I didn't know what a podcast was. No, I don't think nobody knew what a podcast was.
Well, you mean nobody?
Somebody broke it down to me that it's a iPod and broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
And they put together a podcast. We didn't know what it was. So, you know, we was like, you know, what is a successful, you know, downloads, you know? And I think they told us, like, maybe 50,000.
20,000.
Was it 20,000 per episode or for the season?
I think 20,000 per episode is very successful.
And I was like, nah, we're going to do like 1 million. And they was like, you know, that's like, you know, the big leagues, you know, 1 million. And in our first month, we did 1.5 million downloads.
Yeah.
So they was like, oh, he was clairvoyant.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the other thing that you were not clairvoyant about was I brought in some podcasts for them, for the guys to listen to, so that they get an idea.
Yeah.
And so I got permission to bring in Snap Judgment for them to listen to. And after we listened, I think your comment was, oh, that's easy.
Oh, that's easy. that's hella easy. And the hard part is making it sound easy.
Exactly. That's the challenge. How do you make it sound effortless?
That's the hard part. And I realized that later. Like, oh, it wasn't just a conversation. It was like hours of editing, hours of tape.
Well, you also bring up a point that is super important to me, is that this is, when we started the project, one of the ideas was that this would be an inside and outside collaboration and work as evidence to other people that those who are incarcerated and those who are not can work together as professional colleagues, and that there should be more projects that do that as a way to bridge the gap or make that wall less hard to get over. And so it is important to point out that a lot of the work is done inside the prison, but we do actually, I mean, I obviously don't, I'm not incarcerated, but we do have a team of people now on the outside that help and a solid, hardworking team inside. So I love how collaborative this project is. And that's new for me too, as like an artist who's worked by herself in a studio for like 25 years, to all of a sudden do a collaboration and to know that it can't happen unless Erlon and I and the other people are working together is a wonderful feeling. To really find a strong creative partner is great. And I think we make each other better. I couldn't do it without you, and I don't think you could do it without me. But I'll let you say that.
No, I second what she said. I let her say it. You said it good. It came out good. And then, we also have a sound design team that Pat Macedi Miller lead, where we have Antoine William and David Jossi and a few other guys inside the prison that contributes dope-ass music.
Can you say that word on public radio?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that one you can't say.
Bleep, yeah.
I mean, there's so much in front of you right now. You know, there's season four, of course, which is kind of the immediate future, but then, you know, potentially season five, season six, season...
Oh, yeah.
30.
Yeah.
Season 30. What are you guys looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the world hearing the new co-hosts, one of the new co-hosts. His name is blank, blank, blank. And he or she... Should I say that?
Oh, yeah.
He or she. No, but I'm looking forward to how he moved the Inside podcast to a different space and, you know, a different personality. He's hilarious. That's what I'm looking forward to. I want to see him do his thing. Because we tease him, and he played practical jokes on me all the way. And even when I was in R&R, he played a practical joke on me, which is receiving and release. I was on my way getting out, and they sent me a dress out box that was like this big, and I'm looking at it like all my stuff can't be in that little box, but I'm not thinking nothing, and I reach in it, it's something orange. I'm like, okay, I got an orange. I pull it out, it's CDCR uniform, like a reception uniform. I'm like, okay, cool, they got me. Wasn't my dress outs.
One of the things I'm looking forward to, and I spoke on this earlier, is that Erlon and I being able to travel together, to be able to do more public presentations together, give more talks, and think about other ways that Ear Hustle can exist beyond a podcast. I don't know what that is, but thinking about what are the possibilities, because we've been fortunate enough to get a big following and to have a lot of opportunities come our way that I hope we can take advantage of and like push us creatively and emotionally. And, you know, I don't know how this can translate to things beyond a podcast, but I'm curious about that.
You don't see the TV series?
I'm trying to be discreet.
Thank you both so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and joining us here in Milwaukee.
Yes, we're excited to be here.
Appreciate it. I'm waiting on the snow to come down. I've never been in the snow before.
I hope there's some real snow out here.
Nigel Poor is a visual artist based in California's Bay Area and co-producer of the Ear Hustle podcast. Erlon Woods is also a producer of Ear Hustle. He was released last fall from San Quentin Prison after serving more than two decades for second-degree attempted armed robbery. They spoke with Joy Powers while they were in town to speak to an audience at the Milwaukee Art Museum. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.